greatest pain and greatest pleasure in your life will be experienced in the context of relationship. So one of the words that Jesus spoke from the cross is commonly called the word of relationship. We're going to deal with that today, but I've been using a flashback technique. I try to be creative in the way I present the word. I don't know if it makes sense to everybody else, but just ways that make it exciting for me, because I figure I don't like my own sermons. If nobody else does, I'll subscribe to the podcast. But I've been looking at Luke 24, these two people. One is called, we call him Cleo. His full name is Cleopas. He has an unnamed traveling companion. They're going the wrong way to a no-name village called Emmaus. I mean, it has a name, but you can't find it. If you go to the Holy Land today, they'll say, we think this is where Emmaus was, but they don't even really know where it was. It wasn't some metropolitan major area where commerce happened. It was where they lived, and they were going back from the scene of the cross where they had watched their hope extinguished, and they had watched the one that they thought might be the one die. And they were burying their dreams along the road when the one whose death they were mourning walked up right beside them. And they didn't know it. And so they're like walking back the wrong way. And there's this whole thing about, why would Jesus follow people who are headed in the wrong direction? Why would he leave the 99 righteous to find the one? Why would he come for the sick and not stay with the well? And I think that's one thing that we misconstrue about God's presence in our lives, is that he's going to be with us as long as we're doing what he told us to do and going where he told us to go. And yet we're surprised by the grace of God just like busting up in the middle of our conversations and our hopeless situations and chasing us down to the wrong destination so he can turn us around. And when they got where they thought they were going, they saw who Jesus really was. And I think they saw it in his scars when he broke the bread, which is an everyday event. You know, you eat every day. And God is often found in the common parts of our life. I'm teaching already, if you didn't know. This is not a review. So seeing where he had been wounded and now seeing his scars, which were the greatest demonstration of his strength that proved his resurrection, they had their eyes open and he was revealed and recognized by them in that moment. One thing I didn't point out that I think is very important, and I'm going to read the text and I'm going to emphasize certain words and see if you can find the theme. The Bible says in verse 32, that after they recognize Jesus, you know, you have these moments where you're like, oh yeah, that was God. Oh yeah, that was God that had him break up with me. He was broke. God was looking out for me. But sometimes you don't see it on the road. You only realize it in reverse. You like see their picture 10 years later and you're like, oh, thank you, Mother Mary. Now, so they're like, oh, that was him. That was the one we were crying over, but he's not dead. He's risen. And look at this. I'm going to emphasize certain words. Verse 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Are you noticing anything? Okay, one more verse. Make sure you get it. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together. Their revelation of Jesus was completed, not in the context of their conversation with him, but in the context of their conversation with each other. This message is called Complete the Cross. And it is meant to confront some of the things that we say in church that sound spiritual but really make no sense in real life. Things like, you know, all I need is Jesus. As long as I've got Jesus, I don't need anybody else. And I understand the spirit of that he is the most important, and seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things be added unto you, and my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I know those Bible verses too. But even Jesus needed a team. And it is significant, I think, maybe you don't think so, that he revealed himself to two people and they talked with each other, and it was in talking with each other that they figured out who he was. Because for all of us who think all we need is God and all we need is Jesus, the last time I checked, the cross had two beams. This one, that's the main one. Got to get that right. But it's not a cross until it does like this. And sometimes the reason we like to say things like, all I need is Jesus and all I need is God, is because as long as we keep the context of our relationship limited to an invisible God, we don't have to deal with people. And we can kind of manipulate our image of God into somebody who is comfortable for us to relate to. And then you'll start saying things like, well, nobody else gets me, but God does. And so you're all this. All this. And that's awesome, and I love it. But I want to talk a little bit about this, the relationship that is a little bit harder. So to do it, I want to remember what happened on the cross. And I wonder, when Cleopas and his unnamed companion are walking back, because the Bible says they got up, they turned around, they thought it was the end, it was really the beginning. They had watched Jesus die on the cross. Watching him die, they thought, this is it. But heaven is watching and saying, no, when he said it is finished, that was just the beginning. Come on. I need somebody who traveled 6 hours or more to know that where you are right now is not the end of what shall be in your life. I feel like preaching to somebody who's got your head hung down. You've been in Emmaus long enough. Come on, you got a round trip ticket. And they turned around and they went back. And the Bible says that the road they walked was 7 miles. So we've been using each of the 7 miles to represent a different word that Jesus spoke from the cross. And there were seven of them. The word of forgiveness, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Or the word of salvation, today you will be with me in paradise. And I wonder, were they having a flashback of what happened on the cross? And that's not a bad thing to do, by the way, to have a flashback every now and then, to strengthen your faith, to remember what really happened on that cross. I mean, what really happened beyond the crown of thorns that marked his brow, beyond the sign that Pilate put above him in three different languages that said King of the Jews, the title that he used to mock him, which was actually announcing him, because sometimes the insults that people will say about you are the greatest compliment they can give you. I mean, beyond that, what really happened on the cross, what happened down in my soul when my shackles fell off, when my shame was nailed to those beams. When the chastisement that brought my peace was upon him on the cross. Somebody say on the cross. On the cross, that's where my sin is. On the cross, that's where my mistakes are. On the cross, that's where my second guessings and second givings. That's where all of my regrets are redeemed. On the cross, that's where I hung all my fears and all my doubts and all my failures happened. On the cross. And I wonder, did they reflect on the road, on what happened on the cross? And I wonder now, in the light of his resurrection, did they reflect on his death differently? To know that what had caused them to hang their heads and walk away was actually the greatest proof of his love. When I need to know that God loves me, I don't look at what's happening in my life. I flash back to what happened on the cross. That's where it was settled. That's where it was nailed down forever. He's always good. And he does good. And he showed it to me on the cross. On the cross. That's where that thing that the devil is tormenting you with, that's down deeper than anybody else can see, that's where it should be hanging. It shouldn't be hanging around in your heart and in your soul. It should be on that cross. I feel kind of old-timey today. I don't feel very modern today. I feel like going and putting my eyes on the middleman, the one who hung there because he loved me. The one who could have dispatched 12 legions of angels but hung there on that cross for me. It was his love that held him there on the cross. So that's the first picture. I wonder, did they remember what happened on the cross? Because they were actually at the cross, maybe not actually in the general vicinity, but they were at the cross. And, you know, I've heard sermons, seen movies about what happened on the cross. And sometimes it makes you feel kind of sentimental. Sometimes it makes you feel kind of sick. What happened on the cross went far beyond what a film camera can present in 24. What happened on the cross is the release of the freedom that God wants to produce in my life. But I think there's something to be seen, not just what happened on the cross, but who was at the cross. I mean, we know who was on the cross between two thieves. But at the cross. Now to get a clear picture of this, you kind of have to do a little bit of study. And don't worry, I already did it for you, so I'm going to tell you. You don't have to look anything up. I looked it all up this week while you were doing your real job. It was interesting because I was putting together what Matthew said and what Mark said and what Luke said and what John said. And so Matthew, who is one of the disciples, they're all telling the same story but from a different perspective, and they're describing the cross. And when it came to exactly what happened at the cross, Matthew didn't have a lot to say because he wasn't there. Okay? He was there for the fish and the loaves, so he can tell you about that. He was there for that water walking thing where Peter got out of the boat because he's kind of crazy and isn't content to just sit in the boat. He has to do something special and spectacular. He was there when Peter almost drowned himself and Jesus gave him CPR. But when it came to the... Isn't it funny how the cross will thin out a crowd? Because it was really loud on Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem. I mean, deafening. They were crying out something. They were saying, Hosanna. It means save now. And that's what they wanted him to do, to save now. But when he died, it deferred their hope. And so as he hung there at the cross, the crowds that were there to be fed and taught by his hand were kind of quiet at the cross. Kind of quiet where he died. Kind of quiet where he suffered. It was real loud when he was teaching. Preach, Jesus! Can you imagine Jesus' front row? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Preach, Jesus! I mean, if the word was preaching the word, that would be kind of cool to witness. It would probably be exciting. I'm just saying, you probably shout, you probably jump up. But when he came to his cross, crowd wasn't so loud. Oh, by the way, something that Peter proves to us is that those who are the loudest are not always the most loyal. Because when it comes to the cross, Matthew tells us something so disturbing. I imagine it must have hurt him to write this, you know, because Jesus had done so much for them and they really believed in him. And I think they really wanted to follow him, but they could only go so far. And then he came to the cross. And the cross is confusing because it's not supposed to end like this. And the cross is confusing because if he really is who he says he is, how can he be hung up there to die in this kind of humiliation? And so Matthew says that at the cross, everybody deserted him. All 12. Because remember, he had a team. A really big team. A really big team. Touch somebody, say a really big team. Until it came to the cross. And then sometimes circumstances in your life will show you who was really with you because they loved you. And who was really with you because there was something that they got from you. And the moment they don't get from you what they wanted from you. Now that's really painful.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.